blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 90, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks and bless his name. His loving kindness changes not from age to age the same. 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 290. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter, beginning with verse 19 through verse 31. John 20, verses 19 through verse 31. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe and Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 20, beginning with verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord, and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the help and blessing of the Lord. Almighty God, thou who art the all-seeing one, who has been the witness of all that has taken place in this morning hour in our midst. And when thy table was spread in the midst of the congregation, and when the call did go forth, come, see the place where the Lord lay, when thou, knowing what was in the heart of thy church, did see what each and every one of us has done, Lord, may thou forgive our many sins, and wilt thou instruct us by thy Spirit in thy word and in thy truth. Wilt thou remember thy church? Oh, may they also have been instructed by thee, and that thou which may be received by those women might also have been received in a little measure in this morning hour. Thou art free. Lord, wilt thou strengthen thy people? Oh, what a wonderful day, so many years ago, when from mouth to mouth did go that blessed message from the heart of thy people. He is risen. We have seen him. Lord, wilt thou give that also such a blessed testimony and may go from mouth to mouth in the midst of us as a congregation in the days in which we are living with our dear children. Oh, that it still may be heard from time to time how that they have seen the Lord, that thou hast appeared unto them, that thou hast spoken unto them those gracious and blessed words. Peace be unto you, a harmony restored, reconciled unto God. Lord, may it be the desire of each and every one of us. But thou knowest also those who had no freedom to come forth in this morning hour. Thou knowest what is lying in their hearts. Lord, when there is nothing that goes out after thee, then so it had to be. But Lord, wilt thou give then a true concern and a true drawing by thy Spirit, that it may not remain so hard and so dead and so cold, and that thou would give life from the dead in the midst of us as a congregation. But Lord, thou knowest there are also others for whom there are so many riddles. There are others for whom there are questions, and they do not know so often what to do. They are not able to tell their right hand from their left. Oh, may thou be pleased to lead them upon thy ways, that thou may be pleased to instruct them, that thou may be pleased to bring them through that knowledge of self, that it may become for them so impossible, and that thou may reveal to them something of thyself, and who and what thou art unto the chief of the sinners. Lord, how open thy word will go when thou wilt open it, and what a gladness and what a rejoicing in the heart of those that are downcast is taking place when thou dost come over. Lord, we beseech thee to remember all those that are distressed. May thou hear their cry
from heaven thy dwelling place. O look upon them, and wilt thou supply for them, may it be even in this afternoon hour, a little instruction, a little visit from above, a little token that thou still knowest where that they are. And may thou lead thy own church in the steps of grace, that they may come clearly to know thy own work, that it may be spoken of also in the midst of our children and grandchildren. Lord, that it may be heard, the work of the Lord in the heart of thy people, even in our poor days, wherein this world draws so much, wherein we have all that is necessary to enjoy all the good things of this world. Lord, wilt thou show us, while it is still a day of grace, that they are so vain, that they are so carnal, that it is all passing away, and that soon we have to leave it all behind, but that there is such a blessed portion that thou hast reserved for thy own people. Lord, that it may cause hearts to go out after thee, even in this afternoon hour. It is thy holy day. Lord, wilt thou give us such a blessing, and that we may not do this labor, that it may be to the eternal judgment of souls, to the eternal weeping and gnashing of teeth, when the conscience will bring forth again every sermon and every warning and every invitation and every gospel message, when we have to experience what a hellfire is. Lord, oh, do instruct us in a day of grace, and that we might learn to hasten for the sake of our life. Wilt thou bind these matters upon our hearts? Wilt thou look upon all those that need thee in special ways in this life also? Wilt thou be with all those and that are afflicted and sick, Lord, supply for them in the needs of the body. And we remember especially the father of our brother deacon, who is scheduled to receive such a serious surgery in the week that is to come. Lord, we beseech thee, may thou go with him. May thou bring him through. And may thou give the doctor skill and wisdom, and wilt thou supply for his body. But, oh, that thou may give him also a little calmness in all the many fears that lay in his heart, that thou may visit him from above. And wilt thou grant him thy blessing, and be with all those that are needy, children, young people, and older ones. When there is still sickness here and there, wilt thou give health and strength again, but that we may learn not to spend our strength in the service of sin, but that we may have a desire to be so wholly dedicated as that whole burnt offering in the service of the Lord our Maker. Oh, that it may also be the desire of some whom thou wilt plant it in their heart, even to go forth into the work of the ministry. Lord, we have read it out of thy holy word, that thou didst send forth thy disciples to go over the length and the breadth of this world. And thou knowest that we look in these months forward to a curatorium meeting. Lord, we beseech thee, oh, could it please thee to bind it upon the hearts of some in whom thou hast wrought that true work, and that they may be thrust forth into thy service, and that we may be so gladdened with thy deeds. Lord, let us not make ministers. We must fear for ourselves. But oh, when thou would show it is thy own work, and when for men it comes in the impossibility, and when thou dost thrust them forth, being so unable and so unfit, and when thou wilt give them everything that is necessary, then it is evident that it is thy own work. Lord, that we so may be gladdened in the months to come, and that thou would look upon all the vacant congregations, strengthen those that labor therein from Sabbath to Sabbath, and also thy servants over the length and the breadth of the whole world, also in our own denomination, those on the mission fields, strengthen wherever their task does take them, and bless yet their labors among a wicked and a perverse generation. When Satan goes about to deceive men as never before, and when his power is seen so evidently, and that men even in an outward way do leave the paths of truth and the paths according to godliness and thy holy word, remember so our rulers. Lord, convert them. Oh, give them the fear of thy name that is not too hard with thee. Oh, for men it is impossible, but with God nothing is impossible. Lord, remember them in mercy, and remember us then as a nation and as nations. Oh, that thou would bring us back again. Be with all those that fight in the warfares in this world. Lord, put away the devices of the devil. Oh, that thou may spare the lives of our young men and fathers, and also even mothers. Lord, may thou look upon them in their places and protect them. And wilt thou give that there may be peace in those places. Do keep also the warfare and the terrorism off of our own soil. Lord, where are we that we deserve anything, even above so many others, where they must fear for their life day by day? O Lord, thy mercies bestowed on us are so great. Oh, that it may lead us to a true repentance. And wilt thou go with our school, the principals and the teachers and all those that labor therein, from day to day, Lord, remember our children, convert them in the days of their youth, and work with thy spirit in the midst of our school, that it may be evident that thou art in the midst of them, and that young and old together, and may truly fear thy holy name. Lord, wilt thou so bless us? We are so undeserving of the least of all thy notice or attention, and that thou still sparest us, and that we are still above hell. Oh, that is a wonder. Lord, may thou bind it upon our hearts, and may thou be with us then in this afternoon hour. And when for a few moments, then we will reflect upon all that has taken place in this morning hour. Lord, may thou go before us to bring thy word in all seriousness. And wilt thou come in to bless it to young and old together. Forgive, Lord, all of our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing we'll sing from Psalter 349, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. My heart was glad to hear the welcome sound,
the call to seek Jehovah's house of prayer. Our feet are standing here on holy ground, within thy gates, thou city, grand and fair. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 349. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in a portion of the gospel which was read to you, John 20, and thereof the 29th verse. John 20, verse 29. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So far the words of our text. The relation between faith and evidences. First, seeing and believing. Second, not seeing and believing. The relation between faith and evidences. First, seeing and believing. Second, not seeing and believing. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Thus, what does the Lord Jesus mean when he says that thou hast seen me? And then the Lord Jesus is not talking about a spiritual sight, as that we often speak about seeing Christ, seeing an opening that something is revealed unto us. Nobody is speaking here about a natural sight, an actual, a visible sight of the Lord Jesus. That is the use of our bodily senses. That is a carnal thing. Then he does not actually only speak about sight, but he speaks and includes in that seeing actually all of the carnal senses of man, thus to see or to feel or to hear or to taste. That is, all of the modes of perception of our natural human being. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Thus to you and I, congregation, that is something very natural. Because we also have that expression also even in this life that we say to see something. That is to believe it. And actually, that is indeed the way it is. When we think about what happens within a court, then a jury needs to be convinced of the truth of someone, one side or the other. He needs to believe the one or he needs to believe the other. And what is then necessary to be brought before that jury in order that they would believe? Then they are evidences. Thus there are evidences, many evidences, coming there in that courtroom. And the more evidence that there is, then the easier it is for that jury to believe. Thus it is also the same in spiritual matters. That there is a correlation, that there is a relation between evidences and faith or believing. What does the Lord Jesus say? Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Faith, believing, that is so necessary in the church of God. And why is that so necessary? Because faith is the means that salvation is received within the heart of God's true people. And we do not receive it by our bodily senses, but we receive spiritual matters by faith. Paul says faith is a gift of God. That is not something that can be exercised by one who is spiritually dead because it is a spiritual grace, a gift that is given by the Lord, planted in regeneration, but also something that is cared for by the Lord Himself. Much care the Lord is taking for faith. And the care of faith that has much to do with evidences. As the Lord Jesus, He says here to Thomas, "Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed." And thus the Lord is using evidences in the life of His church in order to increase, in order to confirm, in order to strengthen faith. Thus, what does that mean? That the Lord is using also our carnal senses, that we may experience the reality of something even in this life, in order that His church may exercise a spiritual grace that is faith. When we think about the Old Testament, then we see that in order for the Lord to lead His children in true faith, that the Lord has instituted the whole ceremonial law. They were all things that they may see with their eyes, that they may do with their hands, then they may behold all of these natural things, the Lord actually appealing, as it were, to the very senses of the human nature. When we think about the beginning of the New Testament time, that the Lord Jesus was on the earth, that the Lord Jesus Himself went before His people. And how was it that He would help His people to believe that He was truly the Messiah? That He was the one who was promised to come? Well, He did miracles. And then the people could observe with their eyes. The evidences, they were directly before them. In order that they may do what? In order that they may believe that it was He. We understand the necessity. Especially for the people of that time when they have seen the Lord Jesus in His human nature, in the state of His humiliation, and then to believe that He was the Son of God, that was, we would say, for our flesh an impossible thing. How often the Lord is not doing the same also in the life of His children in regeneration, in the beginning of that life of grace. How much then that church that is living out of feeling, that is living out of the senses, and that the Lord is giving the people that they may feel something of the presence of the Lord, that they may experience something of the nearness of the Lord. And sometimes even Sabbath after Sabbath day in that house of God. Then let God's children speak and tell you how that was when the Lord poured out His love in their soul. And that they did feel something of the solemnity of that holy presence of the Lord. That's the Lord appealing even to the senses of His own children. Why? To nurture that faith, to feed that faith, to make that faith that He has planted in their heart to grow. Can they explain it? Do they dare come to the table of the Lord? No. No, in their intellect, they actually are so ignorant. They are still so little instructed. And yet, they make a choice. Yet in their heart, by that which the Lord is giving them to sense and to feel, in their heart, they are making a choice. What is that choice? Maybe they said that choice to no one. Maybe their father and their mother, of that young boy or of that young girl. They know nothing of that choice, that blessed choice that they dare not utter out of their mouth, but that is made in the heart of this one or of that one. To say, Lord, that is a blessed people. Lord, they have more than everything that I may receive in this world. Thy people, my people. Thy God, my God. A blessed choice, choice that is made by faith. Very little knowledge yet of that God. And yet a choice by faith. They see and they feel what the Orpahs do not see. What the Orpahs do not feel. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. It is a wonder that the Lord gives his people sometimes to see in order that they may believe. And so he did also in that night of his resurrection. We read that here he is appearing to his disciples when they are gathered together. Why? That he may assure them of his own resurrection. They saw him. And not only did they see him, but very, very specifically, then the Lord Jesus is holding forth his hands. That he may show them the print of the nails. And that he is exposing to them his side. That they may see with their own eyes. And that they may believe that this truly is he. And then they heard him. They heard him speak that voice that they were so used to knowing. And that voice that the shepherd is speaking, and that the sheep learn to know, and they follow that shepherd. Then they heard him again in that night as speak those most gracious words, peace be unto you. Blessed night. Those disciples, they receive such a blessing upon this night. Even when they are not able to explain everything, still they will never forget this night. They will never forget the instruction that they received. And then they are so glad. We read, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Do we understand them? Blessed night for those disciples. But they were not all glad. Oh, there was one that was not glad. Who was that? That was Thomas. We read that Thomas was not there. Why was he not there? We do not know. At least we do not read the reason. Probably he is despondent. Probably he is very much discouraged. Therefore, he would rather be alone. But in that night, Thomas has missed a very, very great blessing that could have made Thomas also so glad. Are you also missing sometimes, young people, from the house of God? Oh, we hope on Tuesday night to try to preach again. Oh, will there be those that have a little hunger, that have a little thirst? Oh, are we sometimes missing from our place that seat that is empty? Oh, what a great blessing we forfeit. Yes, there are sometimes lawful reasons. The Lord knows those reasons. But congregation, what a blessing that we forfeit when we are not there, as when Thomas was not there. Oh, can you imagine when you would have been at home and that your wife, that your husband, and that your children, that your father, your mother, they would come home to you, and they would say, "We have seen the Lord." The Lord was so evidently in our midst in this day. Oh, then you would say, "If only that I had also been there." Oh, we read of that pool of Bethesda that the Lord is coming, and we do not know when the Lord comes. The Lord is free to stay away for a long time. He's free to stay away forever. That is what we deserve. But it pleases the Lord. We read sometimes to come and sometimes to stir up those waters and to be working that healing work by the power of His Spirit. Shall we miss it? When we with Thomas are absent from the house of the Lord, from the gathering of God's people. Oh, it could be that we are also missing from that table of the Lord. That presupposes, of course, that we had a divine right to be at that table of the Lord. But when we are absent from that place, then we forfeit for ourselves such a great blessing. Why? Because that is a place where the Lord is pleased to give food from heaven. For the weakness of the faith of His children. Ah, there the Lord is appealing to the carnal senses of His own children, that they may touch, that they may taste, that their hands, that they may handle. Why? Oh, it is for that weakness, that seeing, that feeling, they may also believe. And that even seeing Him within those elements, that they may be brought to a true faith. Oh, what a gladness sometimes is experienced by the church. And when they are together, and when the Lord may appear in the midst of them. Was it so, people of the Lord? In this morning hour, that is not what we can bring forth. But that is completely, that is solely at the discretion of the Lord. When He will come and when He will appear unto His own children. Thomas is not there. What do the disciples do? They go to Thomas. Oh, they feel for Thomas. They love Thomas. Thomas is one of them. They know the condition of Thomas because they also know what it is to be in that same place that Thomas was in. And they would cheer him. or they want Thomas also to be glad. And we have seen the Lord. Oh, they hope Thomas also will believe it. And what we read is Thomas's answer. Except, he says, I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. What does he want? He wants carnal evidences. He wants evidences for his senses. He wants to see, he wants to touch, he wants to feel. Do we understand that? Oh yes, we all understand that. That is our life. We are carnal people. And when we may see, and then we see reality, then we say, here it is. Then we may believe it. Gideon understood him. Lord, let the dew be on the fleece only, and let all the ground be dry. Oh, and then he may take that fleece in the morning, and he may wring out of that fleece a bowl full of water from heaven. Do we understand? Does Gideon, oh, he needs it again. Lord, I will speak only one more time. Let it now be dry upon the fleece and wet upon all the ground. Oh, yes, Gideon. Gideon can understand Thomas. Does the Lord understand Thomas? Oh, yes, he does. Otherwise, the Lord would not do what he does. Because the Lord is also using for the weakness of the faith of his people these evidences. And otherwise, he would never do it. To Gideon, he even gave a third one. Said, Gideon, are you still afraid? Can you still not believe? Then go down unto their tents and listen to what they say. Thus, yes, what does the Lord Jesus now do for Thomas? He appears again. It is the next Sabbath day. And the disciples are together again. And do you know who is among them? Thomas. He has learned his lesson. Oh, Thomas has profited from what has happened that week before. And now what do we read? The Lord Jesus, he comes again. And it comes especially for who? It comes especially for Thomas. All the goodness of the Lord. When his people have sinned against him, then he will come for a second time. Does he need to come for the rest of those disciples? Or he needs to come yet for that wandering disciple. And then he is not dealing with Thomas according to his sin. No, he comes. What does he say? He says, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. What does the Lord Jesus do? He offers to Thomas everything that Thomas thinks he needs. He knows what Thomas has said. He says, Thomas, can you not believe unless you will take your finger and put it into the print of the nails? He says, here, Thomas, here are my hands. Here, Thomas, here is my side. Only Thomas, believe it. It is the truth. And whatever that I need to do in order that you may believe, then I'm willing to do it for you. Oh, who is able? Who is able to comprehend the long suffering of the Lord to his people. So condescending is the Lord to his unbelieving people. Does Thomas do it? Does Thomas then take his hand? Does Thomas put his hand into the print of those nails? No. He does not. How do we know he does not? Well, the Lord Jesus says to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Thus, then it was sufficient. It was enough that Thomas has seen the Lord Jesus with his eyes. Then it was not necessary that Thomas would touch the Lord Jesus with his hands. Thomas thought that more was necessary for him to believe than was necessary for all of the other disciples. But it is not. It is not. And why not? Because it is not in the carnal senses. It is not in the outward things. But it is in the Spirit of the Lord. It is in the blessing of the Lord. The Lord was not in the earthquake. The Lord was not in the fire. The Lord was not in the storm. Then it is not in the greatest of the signs. But it is in the blessing of the Lord upon those signs. So that if the Lord will, the Lord is able to give Thomas only to see, just as the rest of the disciples. And then Thomas, he will say, my Lord and my God. And now the Lord is going to give Thomas now some further instruction. And what is that instruction? Thomas, he says, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed, he says, are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That is our second thought after we sing. Psalter 439, stanzas 1 and 2. O Israel's God, how good thou art to all the true and pure of heart. Though paths of saints are fraught with evil, thou showest favor to thy people. While faith sank low, I hardly knew that thou art Israel's keeper true. When in my grief I nurtured doubt, I well nigh slipped from ways devout. 1 and 2 of Psalter 439.
very good downstairs.
I don't think it's. Is there another room? I'll just go on without it. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they which have not seen and yet have believed. Thus the Lord Jesus speaks about those who have not seen. What does that mean? That is, those who have not the privilege of seeing with their carnal senses, that have not that help for the weakness of their faith. Not that he condemns them in their use, otherwise then he should never have given them to his people himself. But the Lord Jesus speaks now about a higher blessedness. What does he speak of? He speaks about the strength of faith. That is, when the carnal senses are not necessary. We read in the book of Hebrews that Paul, he is giving a definition of faith. And what is that definition? He says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things which are not seen. Thus, he is speaking about substance, and that faith is, as he says, evidence. Thus, faith is in itself evidence. Faith that is evidence of things that a person cannot see. Thus, that evidence that is lying in the heart of a person who may exercise faith. Now, we know in court that there is evidence, and that evidence is coming from two sides. And it is whatever side
that evidence is weighing the greatest. This is then what that jury and that judge will now believe. And now we said that the Lord, He is ever working to increase that faith in the life of His church. Why? That is for their own comfort, and it is also for His own honor. Thus He does two things. In the first place, He is strengthening that faith. That He will make that faith stronger. And how will He make that faith to be stronger? Well, we said that He is sometimes giving these carnal evidences. That He is sometimes giving the feelings. And what is then the Lord doing with these carnal evidences? He is withdrawing these carnal evidences. He is weaning His church of these carnal evidences, even as a little child is weaned. Thus, He is making His children to exercise that evidence that is lying within themselves, that evidence that is of true faith, and that He is making His people to lean on that evidence, as to walk on that evidence, that they may balance themselves, that they may be given to go forward in their life as even a child that is learning to walk. Thus, there comes a time that when Elisha, he is walking day by day with Elijah, then there comes a day that the Lord is taking Elijah away from him. And thus, Elisha must go on without Elijah. And so the Lord, He is withdrawing those carnal evidences that He may make His people to walk, to go forward on, and the evidence of faith that is laying within them, that it may be strengthened. At the same time, then the Lord is not only strengthening it, but He is trying it. That is, He is testing it to see just how strong is that evidence that is laying in your heart? And how is then the Lord testing that evidence that is within? Then He is bringing what we will call a cross evidence. That He is bringing an evidence on the other side. That He is bringing carnal evidences in this world against that evidence that is lying in the heart of His people in that true faith. Thus Israel, they are in the land of Egypt. And the Lord sends to them Moses and Aaron. And the Lord promises them deliverance. And we read that they are so glad. Well, gladness in their condition can only come by faith. When they had not believed them, they had not been glad. Thus, gladness that is a fruit of true faith. And then there is a certain evidence that is in their heart. Evidence of things that are not seen yet. Now what does the Lord do? The Lord makes the burdens to increase. The Lord makes the children of Israel to come further under the whip. That they now have to gather the straw. He brings them in an impossibility so that it seems from the outside that it never will be accomplished, that it gets worse instead of better. And thus the evidences, the carnal evidences on the outside, they are coming against the evidence that is in faith within their heart. And now we will say, what evidence will be the stronger? Oh, are they still able to believe? Are they still able to exercise that same faith? Are they still glad? Oh, then we see what happens. And that faith was not so strong. No, they are not still glad in the face of all those cross evidences. But now the rebellion is being stirred up within their heart. Thus we see them again. They come to the land of Canaan. Oh, soon they are going to enter in. The Lord has brought them through this wilderness, and soon that land will be theirs. They send out spies. They get a report. Giants. Oh, they see their own strength. They look at themselves. And what do? They begin to fear. Oh, why is it? Oh, the evidence that is of faith, that evidence was not so strong. No, and the evidences, when they think only of those sons of Anak, no, those cross evidences, they are so much greater. And therefore they say, no, we have better stayed in the land of Egypt. Why hast thou brought us up out of that good land? Thus Abraham, he receives a promise. The Lord will give him a seed, and he has to wait until he is 100 years old. Thus the disciples, oh, they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he is the Messiah. Oh, he is the one that was promised. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God. Soon all the carnal evidences, they are coming against it in the life of that people of the Lord. The Lord Jesus is apprehended. He is taken a prisoner. The Lord Jesus is brought before the judge. Oh, the sentence that is pronounced against him. He is even brought to the cross. His life is expired, and he is now lying in the grave. Can they still believe it? What is now the stronger one? Is it the evidence of true faith? Is it that evidence that is laying within their heart, that the Lord has been instructing them slowly onward to exercise and to walk forward upon? Or is it all those evidences that they see with their eyes, that they hear with their ears, that they can come in by all their carnal sense? Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, Thomas, the carnal sense, to whom does that belong? It belongs, Thomas, unto the infants. It belongs, Thomas, unto the babes. It belongs to those who are weak in faith. But Thomas, he says, there is a higher blessedness. Oh, there is a blessedness in the exercising of faith. That faith is that does not need to rely, to lean upon all of the carnal evidences in this life. Carnal evidences, yes, necessary. For that Old Testament church in the shadows, before that fulfillment ever has come, carnal evidence is necessary, yes. In the beginning of that New Testament, when there shall be a change in the dispensation, and when everything also in an outward way shall be so new, carnal evidence is, yes, so necessary in the life of those young ones and those children in grace, and that the Lord is bringing forth into this life. Carnal evidence is, yes, sometimes necessary in the bouts of the weakness of the faith of the true children of the Lord. Oh, but he says, Thomas, I am soon leaving you. You are not going to see me anymore, no longer with your bodily eyes. And therefore, Thomas, you must learn to live by faith and not by sight, Thomas. Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. And why is so blessed? Oh, they are blessed because they have a greater comfort. They are blessed because they have a greater rest. They are blessed because they have a greater peace. They are blessed because they are not tossed so to and fro upon the waves of doubts and fears. Blessed, why? Blessed because they live more to the honor of the Lord. Because the Lord is honored. Because it is seen even by other men. When you may trust. When you may walk by faith. Oh, blessed David. When he goes forth without shield or spear, as a young shepherd boy, with a sling and a stone against that mighty giant. Oh, what did that blessed faith, that evidence within the heart of David, that substance in the heart of David that may conquer all of the cross evidences of this life, that he may see with his eyes, that may be as a mountain before the children of Israel, that they have fled away from that giant, but blessed David, who may come against this mighty man in the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed Joshua, blessed Caleb, who may say to the children of Israel, when they may see those sons of Anak with their own eyes, they are but bread for us. Oh, that will be, boys and girls, just like we slice a loaf of bread. So easy. Why? Why, he says, because the Lord is with us. And because the Lord, he is going before us. Oh, blessed Abraham. Blessed Abraham. When he may say, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering, despite everything that was coming against him in his life. People of the Lord, the more mature that faith is, the more that the Lord is retreating from the use of carnal evidences. Do you look back sometimes? Maybe you look back sometimes and you say, oh, could I only come again to that blessed place. I remember where I was, sitting in the house of the Lord. And when the Lord came over so with his love, oh, I remember those days. Oh, when I was in my barn, I remember those days. When I was in that secret room in my house, where I could weep my heart out before the Lord. Oh, if only that I may be brought back to that place. Boys and girls, you have a little baby, some of you, in your house. And who is closer now to your mother, you or that baby? Who is closer? You say that baby is closer. Or sometimes your mother hugs you too yet. But most of the time she has that little baby in her arms. And the older that you grow, then the less that you feel that presence and that nearness of your dear mother. That does not mean your mother loves you less. No. No, but that means you are now more mature. And that you do not need to feel it so as you have felt it when you were so young. Oh, people of the Lord, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed, blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. Oh, the exercise of that true faith without the carnal evidences. Oh, that is more to the honor of the Lord and more to your comfort. Oh, may the Lord give then that you may be led by him in such a way that the disciples, they said, Lord, increase our faith. Then the evidence that needs no longer to be on the outside, because the evidence that is all on the inside, and then we are sure. Congregation, Satan, he is busy always to deceive. He is a liar from the beginning, and he will twist and he will turn that word of God in order to deceive us. There are those who are completely averse, that do not want to hear anything about personal experience, because they say that the Lord said to Thomas, blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. Thus, what do? Then they make it to mean that the Lord means a spiritual sight. Oh, that is such a subtle twist. That is such a subtle deception to the deceiving of so many souls for eternity. It is possible that we also have come to the supper of the Lord in such a way as an enemy of true personal experience. Then we never truly needed that broken bread and that poured out wine. That because we never truly needed that broken body and that poured out blood. Or if that is so, then we eat and drink judgment to ourselves, which means that the Lord will leave us if we continue in such a way over more and more to ourselves. Awful judgment. May the Lord give us then true examination. And finally, congregation, there are many things that we need to experience in this life. And we say that over and over, that we need to learn it within. We need to learn it by experience. And we hope never to depart from it. But there are also some things that we do not want to experience. And what are those things that we do not want to experience? That is the fullness of the wrath of God. That is the heat of hellfire. And that is a worm that dieth not, No, that we do not want to experience. Blessed then are those who have not seen and yet have believed, who have so believed it so that they have fled from the wrath to come. Oh, blessed are also those who have not seen, who have not felt, who have never experienced in their life the blessedness of that true people of God, and yet have believed that that is the happiest people that ever lived. Oh, believed it so that you have sought it and that you run to seek it with your whole heart. Oh, may the Lord grant His blessing upon word and sacrament this day to His own children and to each and every one of us. Amen. Oh, Lord of heaven and of earth, may Thou forgive our many sins. Oh, do instruct us in Thy truth, Lord. Lead Thy people into the exercises of true saving faith, even as Thou speakest of them in Thy holy word. When Thy servant Abraham may believe, and it is counted unto him for righteousness, oh, may it be the experience of Thy church to their own comfort and to Thy glory. Wilt Thou look upon us when we have no faith at all? Lord, oh, that Thou may plant it, that Thou may work it in our hearts while it is still called today. Remember us in the rest of this day. Give us to keep Thy Sabbath day holy. And wilt Thou be with us also in the week to come, when the confession class will meet in tomorrow evening, and when we hope to be together in Thy house this week. Also when the classes will meet here in our own church. Lord, may Thou go before us and give us a good meeting together. Give traveling mercies unto all that come to and fro. Forgive and keep us from all iniquity, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 426, stanzas 5, 6, and 7. Thou, O Jehovah, in Thy sovereign grace, hast saved my soul from death and woe appalling, dried all my tears, secured my feet from falling. Lo, I shall live and walk before Thy face. 5, 6, and 7 of Psalter 426.
Lo, I shall live.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.